share with Glenn here a little while back. I teach the preschool class on Wednesday night, and I had to lead singing for the worship after that, and I had Fuzzy Caterpillar in my mind from class, and I could not get that out of my mind to lead the song. So I understand where you're at there, Glenn, but we appreciate everything you do for them. I want us to consider, if you will, looking at Luke chapter 14 to begin our lesson. I won't be reading all of this, but what we find here in Luke 14, verse 25, beginning, as this great multitude look to Jesus, and we find here that Jesus, looking over them, he sees a great mass of people. And he starts off by saying, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father, mother, wife, and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Jesus is stressing a point here, a point that when we come to God, we must give full surrender to him, that we put God first in our lives, that there's none else, nothing else that's going to take first place in our lives except for God. And as he goes on down there and he gives some examples there, he talks about a man that goes to build and he doesn't have enough to build. Or he talks about another warrior here that goes into battle, but he doesn't count if he has enough men to win the battle. So many times we go into things, but we don't go into it with full commitment to it. And that's what is required of us if we're to follow after God. So my lesson today, and it kind of comes down to the final point there in verse 33, where he says, so likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. I want us to think today about this idea of full surrender to God. I kind of rephrase that a little bit and use the, am I all in or am I not? I want us to think with that and think about this, if you will, that what does it mean to be full in full surrender to God? Well, whenever you think about that, it means following, trusting in God only. We put our full trust in him. One of the points that we had in class this morning was the idea of being able to trust and rest assured we can trust God with everything. And we've got to be willing to allow that. It involves prioritizing our God and serving him, making him the priority in our lives. Being all in life means we surrender all we are and all we have back to God. Because when it comes down to it, everything that we have belongs to God. It doesn't belong to us. He's lent it to us for us to use in such a way. I want us to think, and how we're going to look at this today is by looking at an example in Genesis there, chapter 22. And when you turn your Bibles back over to Genesis 22, we have the story here in verses 1 through 19 of Abraham. Now, Abraham was one, and we've got many examples of Abraham. In fact, when you go over to Hebrews chapter 11, and it talks about the faith of so many in history, one of the people that stands out in chapter 11 of Hebrews is Abraham. Abraham is talked about a lot about his faith that he had in God. He truly trusted in God, and we can see that by the life that he led. And I want to just look at one example of that here in chapter 22, when God came to Abraham. Now, if you recall, Abraham and his wife were very old and had no children. And they really wanted a child. They prayed to God a lot about it. And God gave them a child, even in their old age. And God promised unto Abraham that through that seed, Isaac, all nations would be blessed, and many other promises through him. But what we find here in chapter 22, it unfolds that God comes to Abraham and makes a request to him. He wants him to take Isaac, his only son, and offer him as a sacrifice upon an altar. This is a perfect example of full surrender to God. And I want to show you what I mean by that. When we look into these, and we're going to look at different verses in that passage there. But in verse 2, what we find there, that it says here, God says, "Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." God didn't say this was an option. God said, "This is what I want you to do." It was a command of God. "I blessed you with this son, but now what I want you to do is take that son and offer him as a sacrifice." See, surrendering to God means challenging our comfort. Abraham and Sarah had become very comfortable in their life with Isaac, their son. They were very proud of their son. They were very happy and seeing the blessing of God through their son Isaac. And now God is asking them to take that comfort away. It challenges our comforts. What I mean by that was what we find there. We find that many grow comfortable in how we live. This morning in class, Kyle brought up in the lesson, the Laodicean. I told you, you're banging all over my lesson here. The Laodiceans, they had become very comfortable. And they'd kind of left God behind. And that's how a lot of people become, very comfortable. And they're not really reaching out to others. They're not doing any more for others. They're not growing. They're not proceeding further. And what we find is, as it was with the Laodiceans, they become lukewarm. Well, see, we can't have that. That's not acceptable by God, by no means. In fact, when we become lax like that, and it damages, it makes our souls very vulnerable. What I mean by this, we look over to Romans chapter 12. Now turn your Bibles over there for just a moment. Romans chapter 12, this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. I've got several, but this is one of them. When we look at verses 1 and 2, where it says there, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God." See, God is requesting from each and every one of us to get out of that comfort zone, so to speak. Get out of that comfortable area and get out there and do the things that are needful in the church and in the growth of the church and in your service to God. Be a living sacrifice, he says. Be holy, be acceptable unto God. And notice in that latter part of that verse, he uses, "which is your reasonable service." God's not asking us to do anything unreasonable or beyond what we're capable of doing. But so many of us want to shy back. As I put here, we become lax in our spiritual growth. And then, of course, he goes on to say there that we cannot be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So again, constantly studying God's word, looking into God's word, constantly growing and becoming stronger and stronger for the Lord. Never becoming comfortable with my faithfulness. Never becoming, and what I mean by that is getting to a point where I don't think I need to grow any further. So many people, they think, "Well, I've done everything I can do for the Lord. I've studied all I need to study. I don't need to study anymore. I don't need to do anymore. I've done everything for God." You know, I'm about I keep counting down the days, and it seems like they drag out further, but I'm about a year, maybe a year and a half, less than a year and a half from retirement, hopefully, if they don't change it again. But, you know, becoming a Christian is something we don't retire from. We never retire from Christianity. Constantly working is what God wants us to do. Constantly in effort and doing those things which are right. I've just put down here that a comfortable Christian is not what it means to be Christ-like. Whenever we think about the name that we have taken on, this name Christian, it means to be Christ-like. Christ never sat back and allowed others to do things. Christ was out there. He made himself vulnerable, even to the point of dying on the cross for each and every one of us. If I'm going to live my life exemplary to that, then I need to be putting myself out there, challenging not myself, but challenging others to be stronger and be more faithful unto God. Abraham is a good example of this. And how do I know that? Well, whenever we look at the next verse there, in verse 3 of chapter 22 there, and notice what he says there. Now, Abraham's faced with this command of God. Now, notice what it says in verse 3. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place which God had told him. There was no doubt in Abraham's mind. There was no second guessing here. There was nothing. Abraham did, and he reacted immediately to what God had commanded him to do. He rose early in the morning, got all the provisions ready. He split the wood. He got everyone ready. He got his servants up. He got his son Isaac up. And away they went to the place where God had told him. See, surrendering to God means that we need to make a choice. And again, in the class this morning, we talked about the me and giving to others. Looking out for the well-being of others over myself. Sometimes we get ourselves so clouded in our minds with what I want and what I need out of life and all of these things that we forget about everyone else around us. Surrendering to God means we must make a choice. We got to put self aside. I put here, God gives us everything we need. He showers us with all of the necessities of his loving mercy, all of which we tend to forget from who they came from. Whenever Abraham had this given to him, now he looked at Isaac as a gift from God. Many of us, when we have our children, consider our children as gifts from God. They cherished Isaac. But now the choice was made for him that he had to choose the gift over God, or God over the gift. Tough choice. God, like I said, he showers us with his loving mercy. In Philippians chapter 4, turn your Bibles, if you will, back over to Philippians chapter 4. And I want us to notice here in Philippians 4, verses 15 through 19. And notice here, he says, now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. We have an example here of Paul. Paul, when he devoted his life to Christ, this goes all the way back to the time on the road to Damascus, when he was blinded, when he had to sit and wait for a few days for the prophet to come to him. And the prophet gave him direction, and he took that direction. He accepted. He made a choice in his life. And what we find here is that throughout, from that point forward, we find that Paul made wise choices, and that choice was to put God first and follow after God and leave everything else up to God. That's where that trust comes in. Being able to trust in God that God will care for me during these times when I'm serving him and obedient and faithful unto him. But here we find, and he says here, for even in Thessalonica you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. In other words, Paul wasn't so concerned about what they sent him, but it was the attitude, it was the concern and the compassion that they had for Paul that gave him such joy. And then he goes on to say there, indeed I have all and abound, I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And then in verse 19, notice what he says. And he says, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. See, here's where we need to trust in God. That we don't worry about provisions, that we don't worry about the things, but we make a choice to serve him and allow God to show his loving mercy to us. I put in here, and as you see there, who or what is our Isaac? What gift is it that God has blessed me with that I might have to sacrifice to serve my God? See, the choice is ours. Abraham made a wise decision. Even though he cherished his son, he was willing to sacrifice his son to serve God and to be pleasing to God. There are things in our lives that we're going to have to make a choice at. It may be friends, it may be loved ones, it may be things that we're involved in, hobbies or whatever it may be, some things that contradict my service to God that I'm going to have to make a choice on. And I need to do that. Looking at the other point, when we go back again to Genesis 22 and verse 3, again, notice there, as I already read there in verse 3, that he rose up early in the morning, he made the provisions. But there was one that was missing. Isaac wasn't, you know, obscure to this. Because Isaac approached his father and he said, Dad, we have everything for this sacrifice, everything for the offering. We got the wood, we got everything, we got the provisions to make the fire, but come on, Dad, where's the sacrifice? I don't have one. I don't see one. And Abraham tells him there, he says, God will provide. See, surrendering to God demands courage to obey. Hit the wrong button. And so what we find here, that it takes courage to face those challenges that God sets before us. I got a little ahead of myself. My next point is about that. But knowing that there's going to be pain and agony, Abraham was hurting inside. Rest assured. And there's going to be things in our lives that it's going to cause us pain to have to give up. Things that we've been used to, family members or whatever, or friends, that we may have to part ways with in order that we can serve God and be faithful unto him. It demands courage. There's going to be times in our lives when we're going to have to approach others when they mock us, when they make fun of us for how we believe and what we do in our lives as Christians. And we need that courage to stand up. Abraham had courage to face what God had asked him to do. I find here, and as I pointed out here, God knows we're going to face these every day of our lives. In Philippians chapter 4, there in verse 13, Paul, how did he face all of those agonizing trials in his life? In the Corinthian letter, he gives us a whole listing of all the things that he went through and all that he endured in his life. And what we find there is that in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, Paul tells those Christians there, he says, in all of that, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See, Paul put his confidence in God and his Son. A lot of times we face these challenges, we face these obstacles in our lives, and we need to recognize that we're not facing them alone. God is on our side. In fact, we find that the Scriptures tells us, if God be for us, who could be against us? We have examples. Whenever you look back to, if you recall that little ruddy kid, David, he was no soldier by no means. He couldn't even wear the armor that they tried to put on him to try to protect him, because he was the only one willing to face the giant Goliath. Our children here, they've heard that story time and time again in their Bible classes. And how true that story is, that this young man stood up before this great giant with no knowledge of warfare whatsoever, while all these men of valor and all these soldiers stood behind him in fear. And the one thing that David had was the very fact that he knew that God was with him. He knew he wasn't facing Goliath alone. He knew that that he had God there with him. And he won his battle. What a great story that we need to continually to tell our children, because that demonstrates perfectly this idea of courage in the face of trial. If God be for us, who can be against us? I can do all things through Christ. I've told members at Haines Street that maybe take that verse of Scripture and put it up there on your mirror in the bathroom. That's pretty much the last place we always look before we leave to go out into the world. But put that verse up there, or put it on your refrigerator, whatever the last thing you see in your house before you leave. Have that verse of Scripture right there to remind us constantly that whatever I face today, Christ is with me, and I can get through it. I can do it all. I want us to also consider this. Surrendering to God allows us to witness the provisions of God. I told you I got a little ahead of myself there. And here's the point I wanted to make there. Going back again to Genesis chapter 22, and notice there in verses 7 through 8. It says there, "But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, 'My father,' and he said, 'Here am I, and my son.' And he said, 'Look, the fire and the wood, but there is a lamb. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering?' And Abraham said, 'Well, my son, God will provide. God will provide.'" And he goes on to say there, as it goes on to say, "Then they came to the place of which God had told him. Abraham built the altar there and placed the wood in the order, bound his son Isaac, laid him on the altar. Can you imagine? Now, Isaac's been curious about this. Where's this sacrifice? And all of a sudden, his father's binding him up and laying him on the altar. You know, it doesn't really word it. It doesn't really tell us. But I think this demonstrates the trust that not only did Abraham have in God, but the trust that Isaac had in his father. It doesn't say anything as to if there was a if he was trying to fight his father to get off of that altar or anything. It says he's bound him up. But I think there's a lot of trust that Isaac had in his father here. But the greatest of this is that his father said, God will provide. And then what we find going on over to verse 11 is that here Abraham is about to stab his son. He's about to take his life upon that altar. And it says, the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, here am I. I'm sure he heard that and thought, oh, what a relief. What a relief. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And it says, Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there, behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thickets by its thorns. Do you really think that ram just happened to be there? God provides. Abraham trusted in God. He never forgot the promise that God had made that through thy seed all nations would be blessed. Abraham had the trust in God because, see, prior to him going up into the mountain with his son, he told his servants, he said, stay here and we shall return. Sometimes we miss that wording a little bit. He had the confidence in God that God would provide. And if it was to be his son, he had the trust in God and the foreknowledge to know that God would raise his son back up from the dead. And he proved himself to God. God provided unto him the offering. His son survived. But it was a test of his faithfulness and obedience unto God. God provides for each and every one of us. But what we find ourselves doing, and it kind of gets again a little bit more of the Bible class this morning, we talked about the children of Israel and how that they, when they were sent back to build the temple of God, God's house, to renew it back to its original glory. They ceased their work. Now, a lot of that was because of the opposition of the enemy all around them. But it was a demonstration of a lack of trust in God, because what they did then was started building their own homes, and all their focus then was on building their own homes and having a secure home for themselves, and leaving the house of God behind. So many times that's exactly what we do. We quit building on our house of God. And we build for ourselves the financial riches, the great homes, and all of these things. And we think of these as being the necessities. And it's me, it's I that have to provide these things. We miss worship services because we think we need to have that overtime. We think we need to have all these things to provide for our families. And we fail to recognize that God has promised that he will provide, just as he provided for Abraham. So we kind of get to that point. In Matthew chapter 6, it talks about all the necessities of life, the food, the shelter, the clothing, all of these things. And so many people, they spend their lives worried and stressing over all these things, and they give nothing to God. But there in the final verses there, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. We can rest assured, we can put trust in God that he will provide. Just as we gave the example earlier of Paul, he left his home behind. He traveled to many different regions and helped establish congregations everywhere. He put his trust in God that God would provide for him. He put God first and his work first in his life. We too need to be putting God first in our lives, in everything we do, whatever is in our lives, putting him first and him only. I just want to close with this thought. When we think of Abraham, nothing held Abraham back in serving the Lord. When he was called to go to a far country that I will show you, what did he do? Immediately, he got everything together and his family together, and away they went. He left his solid structure of a home to live in a tent, not knowing where God was going to lead him, but he was willing to go. Nothing held Abraham back. The question we need to ask ourselves, am I all in, or what is holding me back? See, God wants full surrender unto him, full commitment. We need to be all in or not at all, which kind of goes back to our Laodiceans again. He wants us hot, not cold, not lukewarm, hot. Let us render unto God what is due God. Let us surrender our all to him. You have an opportunity today. If you've never obeyed the gospel, you can do so by coming forward, confessing his good name, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, with full belief in that, making full repentance of sin, that I'm turning from my evil ways, I'm turning to God, and I'm committing myself to him. To be baptized in a watery grave of baptism to wash away our sins. To rise to walk in newness of life. That can happen today. If it is your desire, if it's your choice to do so, we hope you make a wise choice. For those of us that have obeyed the gospel, I go back to that question, what's holding me back? If I'm not giving my all to God, if I'm not all in, if I'm not fully surrendered unto God, I need to find out what is holding me back, and I need to render unto God everything. Make that decision to do so today. While together we stand and sing the invitation song, let us sing.